Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today that we're going to receive your word, which is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth, cause us to understand your word, help us to comprehend it. You said in Proverbs that in all our getting, get understanding. So God, we ask you to help us to get it, to get the understanding, to be able to use the truth of the word that's coming to us and understand what you're saying to us. God, we come against any confusion that the enemy would try to sow into us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the blessings of God will come upon our lives because we use our faith to receive what you're giving us today. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name in advance. Good things are coming to your people simply because of the word they're receiving today. The good news. We thank you, Lord, that we can receive this good news and glorify you with it. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Hold your Bible up. Say, this is my Bible. Or hold your, you can hold your electronic device, whatever you have. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's Word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Turn to someone before you seated and tell them you're about to receive something good. Praise God. All right, you may be seated. I am starting a new area of teaching today, which actually springs off of an area of teaching that I've been doing for a while. And the new area of teaching that I want to deal with simply is the one word, faith. I want to teach concerning this area. Can you say faith? Can you say it again? Say faith. So we're going to study, and I don't know how long we're going to be on this because faith is so very important to us human beings because of the fact that we can't see through the wall. We can't understand what's going on underground. We can't see past the ceiling. We have to be able to use so many items in our lives through faith. And it takes faith to be able to live a successful life, especially as a Christian, because what we're doing is that we're hanging on to the word that God speaks. And in order to do that, you've got to use somewhat your imagination, but you've got to allow God to imagine through your mind what he is saying in his word. Now, I wrote the book, Casting Down Imaginations and Take Control of Your Thoughts. So God gave me some insights concerning some of these areas about how we learn to cast down negative imaginations and bring up the things that God wants us to have. Because image a nation is really what we're talking about. Image a people. If we have an imagination according to the things of God, you have an image in your mind of the kind of people that godly people are. So if you're part of an evil nation, then you have an image of that type of nation that you grew up with. We are in the kingdom of God once we come into the things of God. So we have to have an image in our mind or an imagination of what God has said about his kingdom. So we have to cast down negative images or imaginations, which may be you not being successful, you not making the flight, and realize that God in his word, if he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, it's coming to pass. Say amen to that. Now, this is a church where you can say amen. So don't feel bad about it. I mean, we don't swing from the chandeliers, not quite yet. We haven't advanced to that level. But we do. First, we got to buy them because we don't have any chandeliers in here. They're in the foyer. But but it's all right to be able to celebrate what God is saying and say amen. Amen means so be it, so let it be done. And so when we say amen, we're not going to amen something that's negative. We're going to amen what God says in his word or how it goes along with what God says in his word. Now, I have several things about God and faith. Now, this series is entitled Faith. The Spirit of the Lord is putting my heart to just let you know, it's no secret. This will become a book. This is actually, God has given me a book called Just Faith. That's what it's called, Faith. And this is the first installment of this, and much of this will be transcribed into that book. I'll say that one time. So faith is very interesting because it involves a lot of different areas. And I want to help you to be able to get a hold of this because faith is a God pleaser. Please write that down. I'm going to give you several of these. Now, I'm going to give them all to you, but we're going to study each and every one of them over the course of several weeks. Faith is a God pleaser. If you want to please God, you must use faith. And I'll give you the scripture for that if you want to be able to go ahead and look it up when you got time. I don't have time today. I got to go somewhere else, but I got to deliver these things. Faith makes you a God pleaser. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith is impossible to please God. It is not possible to please God without faith. So it's important for us to study this, especially once we come to Jesus Christ and have him in our lives. The main study that we need to have for the rest of our life is faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So we're applying ourselves to the word. God and his word are one. You cannot separate God from his word. There is nothing that God has said in his word or will say to you by rhema word or by unction of the Holy Spirit that is a waste of breath. Everything that God has said to you, said to me, said in his word, we are to hang on to that word. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what is God saying? Well, he said, and I gave you the scripture for this, faith is a God pleaser. Let me list the rest of them. Faith is what we cohabit with. We live by faith. So as a believer, a Christian, we have to learn how to operate in faith in order to live the rest of this life. Once you get to heaven, you won't have much of a problem at all. You're in a different state. But while we're here, we have to learn how to live by faith, which means we're living by what God says in his word, not by every piece of bread, you know, because, you know, you don't use that. God uses it, wants us to use his word, every word that comes out of his mouth, not the fleshly things that we need to consume to keep ourselves alive. Now, you're going to need those because you have to stay alive to be able to even use faith if you're not alive. This is only for people that's alive here. If you're dead, you can't use faith. And we'll find out why. Third thing is faith is a tool of war. Now, I'm not saying the kind of war that they're fighting, but yes, it did work this time again in the Middle East. But we war not against flesh and blood, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places, says in actually Ephesians chapter 6. That we are to be able to fight the good fight of faith, it says. So we are in a war. God wants you to win this war. And a lot of the battles that happen are in our own head. We think things that are not godly things. We accept things from people that do not know God, and we buy their bill of goods, and so we live based on what they say versus what God says. We are many times tempted to throw God's thoughts, his words, and even his preachers to the side, to say that that is not as important as what the world has to say. Artificial intelligence is just that. It's artificial. You can't rely on it all, even though most high school students right now are graduating. Never mind. I won't even say. Just something. So faith is a tool of war. If you're going to fight this good fight of faith, if you're going to win in life, I wrote the book Winning Against All Odds. If you're going to win against all odds, you're going to have to learn how to fight with faith, not fight with fists. Most of us are pretty good I mean, you know, I took karate. I mean, hockey talky. Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, you know, paper, scissors, rocks, you know, all this kind of, which way are you going to fight? I mean, what is your weapon? Our weapon is faith, because it's based on the Word of God. And the Word of God is like a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and then is the discerner of the thoughts and even the intents of the heart. We'll get to that. What else is faith? Faith is invisible, but its results can be seen. This is why it's hard to deal with faith, because it's not a physical thing you can see, but it is, which is the next thing, a substance. Faith is a substance. You know, if you're in possession of certain substances and the police find out about it, you're going to jail for maybe 20 years. But faith is not one of those substances. You can't go to jail for faith. But faith is a substance. And the way I like to explain that, we'll get into this, is that it is the sub, almost like the subfloor. You're really not standing on carpet. You're standing out there on concrete. I'm standing on wood. Underneath this wood is some concrete, and I'm standing on the Word of God, because when we were pouring the concrete for this building, I put my Bible and my wife's Bible in the concrete right where this podium goes, because I wanted to be able to figuratively say, we're always standing on the Word of God. That is our substance in the back of our mind. So God's ability to have us have this faith as a tool, faith as a cohabitation with us, faith as a God-pleasing thing, faith still being invisible, yet faith is the evidence. You can use this invisible force called faith as evidence. The Bible says, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It is. Faith is that evidence. Faith is the evidence. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. God wants us to be able to have faith being used. We'll look at that. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence. It's the evidence. It's the evidence. It's the substance. We have to learn how to use this uncontrolled substance. Because God is not causing us to have a substance that we can't control. You decide how much faith you have. Every person is given a measure of faith. So faith can be measured. It's important for you to know that you have a measure. That's how you got saved, if you're born again. Because you wouldn't have faith enough to believe what someone said when they said, Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. God gives every person, I don't care if he's a heathen, a Satan worshiper, every person has the ability to have, and they have a measure of faith to be able to get saved. But once they get saved, once they get delivered, once God comes into their lives, now they have to build their faith and build their faith and build their faith. No one graduates from college after one day of courses, not legally. Am I wrong? You got to pay some money, and you got to spend some time. So faith comes in measures. What else about faith? Faith must be possessed, because faith deserves ownership. You should be able to say, my faith, not just everybody else's faith. You should grow to the point where you have your own faith, not just relying on the preacher's faith, the pastor's faith, the intercessor's faith, the counselor's faith. Faith, then, must be possessed. You should have a possession, and you possess faith. Now, we'll deal with this later, but this is not one of the areas, but I'll go here for a moment. Because the question is, where is your faith? If we know you have it, where is it? Because sometimes our faith is not in God, it's in other things. It may be in our degree, or our ability, or our business, or our marriage, our relationship, our parents, they're taking care of us. We have our faith somewhere. One of the things we're going to do over the course of this time of study is locate our own faith. Where is your faith? How can we move our faith? We know that faith, please write this down, faith moves mountains. So if you're looking to move a mountain, I'm not talking about Mount Rainier, that would not benefit you if we moved that to the sea. You got bigger problems than Mount Rainier. There's challenges in our life that we have to look at and say, man, if I could get that moved, if I could get that removed, if I could get it cast somewhere else. Sometimes it's sickness, disease. Sometimes it's just challenges with finances. It's family issues, or it's just people that are just, you know, that boss. Never mind. Okay. We got one amen. I know that. I won't tell them who it is, though. They may be watching. So there's mountain moving faith. Say mountain moving faith. That takes some time. Now, you're not going to be a mountain mover when you just discover that you have a measure of faith. You got to build that faith now to where you trust what God says versus what other people say or other things are saying to you. Faith has an opposite, and they never dwell together. Faith and fear do not cohabitate ever. If you've got faith, that's because you drove out fear. If you've got fear, it's because faith is missing. Faith is important to have because it drives out the scary part of your life. When the doctor says, when the mailman brings, when she sends those papers, when you get that report, when they make that demand, when they send you that notice that you got assigned, certified, that's when faith is supposed to be able to get rid of that fear. Faith also must be held steady. In order for it to work properly, there should be no movement. The Bible calls it wavering. We should not waver in our faith. We should be strong in faith, which tells us we can be weak in faith. So we are not going to waver. We are going to be able to make sure we stand strong for the things of God. Besides, this is how we live. The just lives by all this. A couple more. There'll be more added because there's more that we'll discover and bring to our minds. Having faith sometimes is like you're lying. You have to learn how to deal with that. People think you're lying when you speak faith. Here you are sick. You got the doctor's report. Okay, it's on my chart. You have this disease. You're sitting there looking at my chart. Then you look at the Bible. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. You go to Isaiah, by his stripes you are healed. Whose report will you believe? And you start saying, I believe, I receive my healing. Now you have to say that, short lesson on this, you have to say, I believe, I receive, because you haven't received yet, not in manifestation. So using faith, we say what we believe, not what we see. I'm not going to say what I see because that's obvious. I'm going to see what I don't see. And I'm going to say what I don't see. If I don't see it, doesn't mean that I can't say it. Come on now. And what we do is that we tend to be see and say people. We only say what we see. You have to learn how to not be a see and say. You got to be a believe and say. Because the first act of faith is what you say. Faith has a partner that you're going to need, because faith, please write this down, there's a new one. Faith takes time. I said faith takes time. It takes time. And this is why a lot of people don't want to use faith, because they're used to the microwave. I mean, seriously, you stand in front of the microwave more than 30 seconds, it's like, come on now, where's my food? I mean, you go to the drive-thru line at McDonald's for more than a minute and a half. It's like, what's wrong with these people? I mean, come on. I just told them I want a hamburger, order fries, a chocolate shake, and apple pie. Can't they have it cooked now? I mean, they used to do that. When I was 15 years old when I worked at McDonald's. Boy, by the time you said it, we was wrapping it up in the bag. A few things happened since then. I ain't going to say what they are. But see, we're so instant-minded, but faith takes time. Tell somebody, faith takes time. Faith takes time. Tell somebody else, say, I told you faith takes time. Now, we have to condition ourselves for that. And because faith takes time, we have to operate with faith with a partner. This has been my partner for 52 years. The girl is something else. I am not kidding. I don't think they make any more like her. They just broke the mold. I just thank God for her. Most mornings I wake up and sing a song to her. You so easy to love. And she goes, and there's a little part in the song where I have to kiss her. You so easy to love. Of course, this is our anniversary. You all know that, don't you? We met 61 years ago on this day. After church at an Easter egg hunt on Fort Lewis. And she saw me. I didn't recognize her because I figured it out. She had snag-a-tooth. I didn't like little girls with snag-a-tooth. And she had snag-a-tooth. And so I didn't notice her. But she said she looked at me because my brother won the golden egg, but she won the golden prize. I must say so myself. I was going to have you tell the story yourself because, see, people don't believe me when I'm saying it. But she looked at me and said, he's cute. I don't know what she's saying now, but that's what she said then. Oh, now I'm handsome. Okay, thank you, baby. That's going to go real good tonight. All right, anyhow, we're married. We're married. We're married. See, people don't know. This is how marriage is supposed to be. Supposed to love her. And you were looking forward to going to heaven together. We were talking about this the other day. That we're going to go up to heaven. We're going to party together. We're going to have the greatest time because we're going to say, we made it, girl. We made it. We preached that gospel and made it. But God wants you to know. He really wants you to know that he's the God that wants you to learn how to use faith and patience. Here's what happens when you use faith and patience. We'll see it in the word. You inherit 35,000 plus promises that God made. There are more than 35,000 promises. I don't know really how, the count keeps changing. They said it was 30,000. Now they're saying 35. Some are saying more than that. Promises that God has given us. But you have to have faith and patience. And you know why I say that? Because I had to build my faith to build this building. And my father in the faith from Los Angeles, it was an old cassette tape that he had preached about how they built their facility, the Faith Dome, down in Los Angeles. And this man of God, Pastor Price, he talked about how he had to use faith and, I can hear it still, patience. And when they stopped funding this building to be completed, I had to turn on that cassette player and play that again. And play it again. I probably listened to it 150 times to finish this building. Because, see, we don't have anybody backing us as a denomination. We're a non-denominational church. So we don't have nobody funding us. You fund us through God's touching your heart. And so I had to listen to that thing again and again and again. And many times when they stopped doing what they were supposed to do to fund us, I felt like we were all by ourselves. But you have to use faith and patience, because I told you, faith takes time. Now, go with me to the scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse number 17. Now, I'm going to give you some information about this. I can't do it today. Of where faith started. Where did faith start? Who started this faith, and where does faith come from? Because this is important to understand. Now, as a child of God, this should be your number one subject to study. We already know that God so loved us and we love others. Love is very important, but you really need to understand faith so you can be able to display God in your life. It says, as it is written, I have made you, say me, as if God was speaking to you, a father of many nations. I have made, I have made, I have made, I have made, I have made. That jumped out to me by the Holy Spirit as I was studying to prepare for this time together with you. As it is written, you need to underline that also, because we need to know what God is saying in his written word more than anything. Whatever God we feel like is telling us, it should be confirmed by this word. If it cannot be confirmed by the word of God out of the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, not out of somebody that wrote about the Bible, but the Bible itself, you find it confirmed in the Bible before you understand, because as it is written, I have made thee, Abraham, a father of many nations. Now, this man was childless. It mattered then because a couple of different reasons. There was a tradition, it still is, in the old land over in the Middle East, in Israel, in various places over there, where you wanted to be able to have a son, at least one son, to pass everything to. And so you also needed labor. So you wanted to have children because you needed labor. Let's be honest about it. And you wanted to train these children up to be able to help take over. And so you wanted to be able to have them to be the ones to be able to be out of you, because they care for you, because they're from you. But God is talking to Abraham now. And he said, because he had no children. His wife was barren. And he wanted a child. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Of many nations. How can you be a father of many nations if you have no son? You have no child. Father of many nations, before him whom he believed, God believed. Who did he believe? It says, even God. Who quickens or makes alive the dead. Now, here's what I want to help you to understand. As we go through this learning about faith, I believe things are going to come alive in your life that were dead. I believe the word of God will raise up some things that were dead in your life. Now, I know a little bit about dead things, because for 6.5 years after going to the hospital while we were out of town in Vancouver, Portland, I was doing some training for aviation, and we were checking on some property that we owned there, rental we were getting ready to be able to rent out in the Vancouver, Portland area. And I was stricken with sickness all of a sudden on a Friday night. Everything was fine, and all of a sudden on a Friday night after dinner, I ended up in an ambulance. And they were taking me to the hospital. Ended up in the hospital. They said, there's challenges going on with your intestines, your stomach, your pancreas, and your gallbladder. My liver looked fine at the time. So while I was there, I realized that you could expire. And especially when they were dealing with problems with my pancreas. In fact, my relatives, my daughter especially, didn't want to tell me what they were saying about that. That my pancreas did not look good. And so they performed an operation on me on a Friday night. They said, we got to come back. We did good discovery, but we got to go back in there. So on Sunday morning, here I am, the pastor of the church, sitting in a hospital bed out of town, believing God for my life. And so on Sunday morning, they had another surgery. And this was Memorial Weekend, 2018. The next day, I was bandaged up enough after two surgeries to be able to at least make it home. And while we were getting me dressed, my wife and I, because she stayed with me the whole time, every time I've been in the hospital, this woman has stayed overnight except for one night. She's been there. And when she didn't spend the night, she stayed on the phone the whole time. But I was getting ready to leave, and there's this lady that was there that reminded me of a lady that started with us, her and her husband, in this church. So it's familiar to me. She gave an offer to me for some medicine that she said her sister used for ovarian cancer to take away pain. I didn't think for a moment that I didn't have ovaries, but anyhow, I was hurting. I was sort of drugged out with oxycodone and that kind of stuff, and so I said, I'll take whatever you got. And my wife kept saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Many of you have heard this story. But I received that shot in my arm that felt like I was having thick lotion, like Jergens lotion, shot into my arm. And I went on my tippy toes and I said, what was that? And that lady had given me something that by that afternoon, as we were driving back from Vancouver, Portland, to Tacoma, started causing my liver to die. And the rest of my organs in my body started dying as well. I had several more hospitalizations, diverticulosis, other situations that happened that almost died off of over 6.5 years. And I was ready to give it up. I don't know if you've ever been there where you're ready to give it up. I was ready to give it up, but there were many people here praying. My wife was praying. My mom in the faith, Dr. Betty Price, was praying. And all of a sudden, something started changing 6.5 years later. Because it was so bad, I was thinking about this today, that I was so afraid because it messed with my mind, I wouldn't even go to the barber. I was scared of the barber. Whatever this was had gotten into my mind and had changed my mind. Now, I wrote the book, Take Control of Your Thoughts and Casting Down Imaginations and Winning Against All Odds. And here I was against all odds. Because, see, I know when it looks like it's impossible, like it did here for this man of God, for Abraham. He could have no children. His wife was barren. But God is telling him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Not just one, but of many nations. Say many nations. Many things God wants to bring to you. But it's going to take faith. And this morning, this afternoon now, I want to make sure you get a load of this faith as we go through this teaching. It says, as it is, I have made you a father of many nations, the presence of God, even of God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they didn't exist. He calls those things that be not as though they did exist. In other words, when it doesn't exist, when it's invisible, God calls it there. He doesn't call you sick. He calls you well when you are sick. We sang the song. We sang about thanking God. To the poor, say I am rich. To the sick, say I am well. Why? Because of what the Lord has done. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given his son. And today we need to give thanks because we can use faith to be able to call those things that be not as though they were. You are going to change your talk just like I changed mine after God began to cause that miracle to happen that my wife kept telling me, you're going to be back preaching like never before. I couldn't even say happy birthday to my wife with a microphone. For 6.5 years. How many witnessed this? Put your hand up. You're part of this congregation. You watched me sit there for 6.5 years, say nothing, until God. See, because it'll look like it's bad until God gets involved. It'll look like you're not going to make it. It'll look like you'll never have a child, Abraham, until God gets involved. It'll look like you're never going to be well. It'll look like you're never going to get out of that debt. It'll look like you're never going to have that marriage work the way it's supposed to. It'll look like nothing's ever going to happen. That kid's never going to turn around until God gets involved. When God gets involved and you use your faith, The promises start happening for you. Up to 35 plus thousand promises God has for you. This morning, this afternoon, it's time to grow in your faith. Go past the measure. Go past salvation faith. And get into this thing where God is taking care of you and you trust him no matter what it looks like. David said it this way, even though you slay me, I'm going to serve you. God will bless you even when it doesn't look like it. David was so strong about it, he said, I'm going to tell the truth. I'll swear to my hurt. Even if it hurts me, I'm going to tell the truth.